Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
And what?
I was going to say keep talking. I was trying to talk to Drew.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. It's like, yeah, I usually do. Dan usually isn't telling me to talk anymore. But, yeah, we'd love for you to stop in. We're just getting started on the line, just wrapped up. Here as we're watching round two of the Masters, another gorgeous day, but very much like the weather here, windy. Where the wind, I mean, is really, really whipping, and you can see it affecting everything there. Don, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. Anytime food's involved, I'm always available.
Oh, man.
Yeah, really appreciate the contribution you made all year
well,
long.
Thank you, and congratulations to you guys on the awards.
Thank you. Really, yeah. Really appreciate it. Couldn't have done without you, without our defensive line coach.
I don't know about that.
Those awards are won in the trenches, Coach,
right.
At the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And we couldn't have done it without you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, we'd love for you to stop by if you can here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. I know folks getting off work can swing by here. Baumhauer's, of course, one of the best places that you're going to find. And, you know, Tud isn't here today. He's over in Augusta. We may see him while we're watching round two of the Masters here today.
We'll tell him which golfers are on. He can, you know, sort of run, you know, jump in front of the shot there when when Scheffler's getting ready to go or something.
Yeah.
No, that's an excused absence. Usually we'd like for Tud to be here for this sort of thing, but it is Masters Friday, and he's up there at Augusta. So, hopefully the next time we come out here, we'll be able to see Tud here in the house. But in the meantime, yeah, great place to watch the second afternoon, you know, Friday afternoon of the Masters tournament there in Augusta where Tud happens to be.
Yeah, absolutely, and some pretty good scores still being put up despite the wind that is there. You mentioned Scottie Scheffler, who the heavy favorite coming in. He's right there. We'll keep you updated as we head on through here this afternoon. Love for you to join us here at Baumhauer's. If you can't make it out, you can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
So anything on your mind here on this Friday afternoon? Again, we'll keep you updated on the Masters. I've got to admit, I haven't been able to watch as closely today. Younger son and his wife are at a, they've gone to a wedding, so we've got the 2-year-old.
Well, we're Sunday Masters people anyway, aren't we? I mean, we're not.
Yeah,
as,
you're right about
we're,
that.
We're not as hardcore about Thursday and Friday. The real. With all due respect, the real sickos, you know, really following the Thursday, Friday action.
Right.
There to, you know, checking the cut line and stuff. Although, one cool thing about Augusta is, I mean, you have superstars vying for that cut line to stay alive on Saturday and Sunday. And then you hope for what CBS always sort of hopes for, which is big stars in contention and a competitive Sunday, a competitive last day, or somebody chasing history, somebody
right.
doing, you know, having the best, you know, the best Sunday round ever, or the best final, you know, the best 4-day score ever. And so we'll see if something like that happens. I'm always sort of guessing, you know, my money's always sort of leaning towards Patrick Cantlay, my fellow UCLA Bruin. Told the story yesterday, I almost got to teach a class with him when I was a grad student, and now he's a champion. And then Colin Morikawa, who's just, you know, a guy who I feel like is, you know, on the verge of, you know, having a run where he's consistently in the top. I mean, Rory is, you know, there's still outside interest, and then of course Tiger, like, is the guy. I mean, there's I guess the LIV versus PGA thing, which I don't want to even get into.
No, don't reach the
warring factions in professional golf now and things like that. But if anything, that's made the Masters more special because you get to see all the golfers together, and it's the rare, you know, increasingly rare occasion where all the top names in golf are competing in the same tournament. And so, and they've also, even with the wind, I mean, you see some of these shots, perfect Augusta weather, perfect April Masters weather, and hopefully a thrilling next couple of days in the tournament.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on that and anything else going on in the world of sports. Again, we're here at Baumhauer's, and we're here because of the good folks at SenseGreen. SenseGreen Heating and Air sponsoring our being here at Baumhauer's. So, yeah, this is great. We love it. We're out here on the patio. Stop by if you can. Again, you can give us a call. We'll talk about some news. Auburn yesterday while we were on the air saying, expect Auburn to add a commitment from the transfer portal in basketball very soon. Very soon came about 11 o'clock this morning for J.P. Pegues.
I mean, if you remember the conversations we were having while the show was when we were having while we were doing the show during the Auburn-Yale game, and then in the days after Auburn lost to Yale in the NCAA tournament, a lot of focus was on who's coming back and who isn't, and where does this roster need to improve to take the next step and make a, you know, to stay in contention for the SEC championship and make a tournament run next year potentially. And I think point guard was a spot where people looked at what Auburn did this past year, a split between two young, relatively unproven at the college level players. And while, I mean, Auburn still won a lot of games, won the SEC tournament.
Third most games Auburn's ever won in a single season this past year with 27.
It's not to paint last season as a
disappointment.
You know, yeah, I mean, the ending was a disappointment.
Absolutely.
The season as a whole was a championship season for Auburn. There's still the question of did Auburn get the most it possibly could have out of the point guard position when you think about what's available every year in the portal now. I know coaches want to develop and they want to build someone into a championship point guard, but every year there's options out there that allow you to improve that position. And it seems like Auburn, with all due respect to Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway, Auburn decided to go find a veteran, proven option to take the majority of the minutes at point guard, and that option is J.P. Pegues coming in from Furman.
Yeah, J.P., 6'1", 185-pounder, averaging 18 points, about 4 assists and rebounds per ball game, a 36% shooter from distance, and a guy who, yes, some folks might remember a few years ago as a youngster him hitting the shot that knocked Virginia out of the NCAA tournament. I mean, he's a guy. One thing Bruce Pearl has talked about is, yes, he likes to combine young players that he can develop, but you want to have as old a team as possible. And adding an experienced hand in J.P. Pegues, I think is I think it's a huge addition. Auburn still, I think, needs another one. I would not be surprised to see Auburn try to find another point guard. It'll be interesting to see because you're not going to be able to sell playing time and 25-plus minutes of ball game to another one once J.P. Pegues is in the fold.
You know, and that's something where, and again, if Trey Donaldson, I totally understand Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway both wanting to pursue somewhere where the playing time was more guaranteed in the upcoming season. But it's a shame because I think when you add J.P. Pegues to the mix, there is a, you know, you would think that this Auburn roster right now has a need for someone to play 12, 15, maybe a tick more than 15 minutes at point guard. And if it were a player like Aiden or Trey, you could think that would directly lead to a shot to be the starting point guard in the subsequent season, 24-25.
Right.
Now, that didn't appeal to them.
The problem is J.P. Pegues would probably fit better as the other style to a Trey Donaldson. And Trey is heading into his third year.
Yeah.
So if Trey was only going to be able to get 12 to 15 minutes this year, he'd be going into his fourth year in college before he'd have an opportunity to be the guy. So I can understand.
Fourth and final year.
Right.
Of college basketball. Because remember, yeah, we're pretty much, with the exception of players who were true freshmen in 2021, pretty much everyone is you know, the COVID year is pretty much finished in college basketball. One player who does have a COVID year that he could utilize is Jahni Broome. Nothing official yet, but I would say all signs
have been pointing to Jahni returning, and I think the optimism continues at Auburn with Dylan Cardwell announcing yesterday he's coming back. You know, really, you look at the roster now, if Jahni returns, Auburn could use some minutes, at the point and someone with Chaney Johnson at the four. Other than that, Auburn is as deep and experienced and talented as anybody they're going to play.
And you think they're, I mean, an addition at forward, even with retaining Janai and Dylan and bringing back Chad Baker Mazzara and Chaney and Chris Moore, there still could be some minutes available at the four. And then, like you said, point guard would be another spot. One thing you don't have to worry about as much as you did maybe during yesterday's show is the thought that Bruce Pearl could be poached by another SEC program.
He's not going to Kentucky.
We know that Kentucky will be they've gone and found their coach, a guy we talked about.
We did
throughout the week as sort of a plan B if Kentucky doesn't get one of the marquee candidates. I wondered if Mark Pope was going to be something of a disappointment to Kentucky fans that thought Billy Donovan
yes, but I think, you know, he is one of theirs. He's one of their own. He played at Kentucky. He was recommended. I mean, he's definitely been backed by Rick Pitino. So, I mean, that will go a ways. Don, you're a Kentuckian.
Yeah, he also roomed with Jeff Shepard. So that was his roommate. He was the team captain.
Close family friend of the Shepherds.
And, you know, some of my buddies can't believe they took him.
Only have.
Others are excited. So who knows?
Well, but, I was just thinking, you know, the fact that he is a Kentucky, you know, he's a Kentucky product.
Right.
Will go along. That will help a lot.
Yes.
If it had been someone else that had the
Mark Pope's resume without Kentucky ties doesn't get him this job.
No,
like,
you're right.
Mark Pope's
someone
resume.
Else with that resume, Kentucky fans would have completely lost their minds. They're not happy, but they will give him a chance because he's one of them.
And he has more. I mean, the last time they hired someone with these kind of ties to the program, I mean, you're talking about Joe B. Hall was the last Kentucky player to coach Kentucky, and it's been 40 years since they've gone in the family like this before. And I did, you know what? And I did come away watching BYU this year, thinking with an elevated level of talent, maybe not even Kentucky style, but if they could raise the level at certain spots, they were on the verge of being a great team this year. And apparently, a couple of those guys are in the portal. Mm-hmm. And we read the article from the guy at Kentucky.com yesterday talking about sort of making the argument for Bruce Pearl or Nate Oates because these four or five things need to be true of Kentucky's next coach.
Right.
Some of those things are true of Mark Pope, and one of them is a desire to blend veterans with the best possible freshmen you can get, not overly relying on
one and done.
Right. I think that there's a desire to keep Kentucky as a factory for NBA players, but also maybe you need more veterans than ever before in college basketball.
Exactly.
Because teams are getting older than ever before. And it's a little bit like relying on young guys at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
In college. Even if they're the best, even if we're talking about the nation's number one true freshman defensive tackle, he might run into trouble against a fourth year or fifth year
offensive line.
You know, guy who went to high school with that guy's dad.
Yeah,
you know, so, right?
No
you're talking,
doubt.
You're talking
no
about
doubt.
Older guys,
yes.
Especially in the COVID era, which is you know, winding down. But but if Mark Pope, if he can get buy-in from the right people,
exactly.
Oh yes.
If the right people buy in, I think he has a chance to have a good team immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably when your hiring is met with some skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important to start off strong than ever before. Because if this thing doesn't look good in year one, the skeptics will only get louder about the decision to hire Mark Pope instead of somebody else. And so he needs to hit the ground running. And I think that's when you come in with Kentucky ties and you say, I know the territory better than some outsider, there is a belief that you will hit the ground running. In a way that might you don't.
Well, he knows the landscape. He knows the expectations of the Kentucky fan base.
Right.
So I mean, that's a good start. But I mean, he will get a little more leash than an outsider who didn't have that resume.
Yep.
But it's not going to be the longest. I mean, he had better hit that ground running. And
he's got to get a couple of big boosters like the Kraft family back on his side. They fell out with Coach Cal and. Yeah, it's going to be important. It'll be interesting these next couple of weeks.
I keep thinking that one of this is a difficult game to play, but even with a Mark Pope, I keep thinking that Kentucky, like if you can tap into some of the most successful former Kentucky players right now in the NBA, Auburn has been able to get, you know, Josh Donaldson has his name on a couple of very prominent things, mm-hmm. going from Auburn player to successful major leaguer. I mean, there are multiple. I looked it up.
Oh, Kentucky has so many options. Yeah,
I'm not exaggerating when I say that John Wall made $300 million as an NBA player.
Right.
And that's just John Wall.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Anthony Davis is going to probably cross the $300, $400 million mm-hmm. marker as an NBA player. And then you get into everyone else because it's Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I think a player like a former Kentucky player might be able to open those doors more than
right.
even a really sharp, really accomplished outsider, mm-hmm. which is you know, the other guys that were on the table for Kentucky. So I understand skepticism immediately because a guy who gets the Kentucky job probably should have won more as a college coach than Mark Pope has won so far. But he knows but he knows more than pretty much any candidate on the table, except maybe Rick Pitino, because he mm-hmm. coached there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Rick Pitino was really on the table. Rick Pitino,
yeah,
but
I don't either.
Pitino putting out a video.
Yeah.
By the way, putting out a video in support of Mark Pope
yep.
getting the job and saying he was, you know, he's strongly in favor of Kentucky making the decision to go with Pope. But you would think that Pope knows better than just about anybody else what is expected and what he's stepping into as the new head coach of Kentucky. One of the most, top five, top ten as far as the scrutiny you're under as a college coach.
Easy top five. No question about it.
And
if
you lump in football, is it still among, I mean, you're
top ten?
College
sure.
coaches, yeah. I mean, it's
for
one
sure.
of the most mm-hmm. scrutinized jobs there is, and now Mark
yeah.
Pope steps in.
Yeah.
All right, we need to get to our first break again. It's the drive coming to you from Baumhauer's here in Bent Creek. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, love for you to join us. If you can't make it here, give us a call, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Friday Drive.
The Orthopedic Clinic.
After a certain point, you've got to make some changes. Now, you don't have to just completely start over. You don't just draw names. I mean, now you do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
We've seen teams, you know, draw names from a hat as far as the lineup and things like that. And they may have to do that. But, I mean, he's not going to give up on the players that he's counting on and he's been counting on all year long.
No, I think that's where you have conviction and confidence is sort of where is where that comes from.
I think that's perfect timing.
How
I looked
about
at my
that?
Watch.
I was distracted.
Looks like the bottom of the hour.
I started to make a point,
Dan,
and I said, "Ah, forget it."
Dan asked Scott a little while ago. Said, "You guys still have pizza?" And it's like, "Yeah, the only Baumhauer's that has a pizza oven."
I, you know, I was more strategic
does.
Than that. I asked about the oven. I asked, "Oh, is the oven still there?"
Still got the oven.
And Scott was
is
nice enough
working?
To then say,
yes.
"Oh, yeah, you know, yeah.
Is it on?
You want to
toss something in there? See?
You like that one, Coach?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, how about that? All right, we're gonna get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us here at Baumhauer's here at Bent Creek. Again, the drive here presented by Sensegreen Heating and Air. So we're having a blast. Come on in and join us.
BNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. We are here at Baumhauer's on Bent Creek, here at Bent Creek, having a great time. Just had time to wolf down a
wow.
delicious slice of pizza.
Very
from
good.
Here at Baumhauer's.
Yeah, our man was telling us, Scott
yeah.
was telling us, fresh made dough. One of the only coal-fired pizza ovens.
Yeah, I think he said it's
town.
the only Baumhauer's.
The only
right.
Baumhauer's
country
that offers the pizza options. And Bill, you're a bit of a pizza connoisseur. You have pizza.
Oh yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, I said I'll need another of these when I'm leaving because Friday night's usually pizza night.
Oh yeah.
And the little 2-year-old granddaughter, she loves
oh,
pizza.
Oh man, that's
and,
great.
And this is excellent pizza.
Oh, it
that,
really,
that they
really
brought
is.
Out. So I mean, maybe you're not thinking about pizza. Maybe among the options here at Baumhauer's, you should be because it is that is wonderful stuff.
What's great is I mean they've got such a wide range of delicious items on the menu. Stop on by. We'd love for you to come by and say hey to us. We've got some giveaways. We've got T-shirts. We've got cups. We've got koozies. We've got baseball tickets for tonight if you'd like to go see Auburn and Kentucky.
What do you feel like has to go right for Auburn baseball tonight to turn this around? I mean, I know
Kentucky's not a big power team. Kentucky is a very sound fundamental team. Play really good defense. They did make an error last night in the ninth inning. But, I mean, they made some great plays defensively. They don't have the most overpowering pitchers, but they really know how to execute. I mean, they make the pitches. They can spot pitches. They hit and run. They hit behind runners. They're a great base-running team. They lead the SEC in steals.
They're pesky.
Yeah, they are.
They're pesky
team.
Well,
they're just a very sound, fundamental team. If you could jump on them, you know, make them have to try to play from behind, I think that would be good. Auburn's just, they've struggled getting off to good starts here recently. I think that would be very big. Chase Alsop on the mound for Auburn tonight to get start.
With Irish and Pierce ailing, and I know Pierce has not had the
Bobby
kind of season.
Bobby didn't play last night.
He was in the uniform, I believe, but not active, or did not play. He was active, but not used. And there's so much pressure on the rest of the lineup, right? I mean, to produce.
Yeah, there is. Auburn's still hoping to get some of the right-handed bats moving. It's been more, Ike and Cooper, our regular Monday guest, Cooper McMurray, looking for some pop. And then Cade Ballou, the freshman from here in Auburn, has stepped up and shown a good bit of pop as well.
Something I really admire, Coach, about Cooper McMurray,
yeah,
is that it would be very easy to either come up with excuses not to talk to us on Monday.
Right.
Or try to rush through it,
right,
and just try to get it over with. And I think that Cooper, even though the season is not going the way that folks were hoping for thus far, he has been thoughtful and he's been great with his time. And I think that speaks a lot an athlete that can still, you know, that they can. It's probably a positive sign that Auburn's veterans can compartmentalize some of the on-field struggles, put it in the rearview mirror, and stay focused on what's ahead.
The few times that I've been in on Mondays, and listen at home, he's very, very well spoken, very mature. All the guys that you've had on all year, each sport,
I've been very fortunate.
So impressed with them, and the way they carry themselves. Because I've coached some guys that couldn't even talk.
there have been Auburn teams in the past where the coaching staff had to be very careful about
who got you knew who to send up there.
Who got to talk to the media.
Because I remember one time Josh Thompson, I killed him in practice, and Coach Tubb called me in and ripped my butt because somebody wrote an article about I was running them after practice, and they asked Josh Thompson. He said, "Oh, that old guy does it all the time," or some crap. It was crazy.
Shout out to Josh.
I love Josh.
All right, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. If you can't make it out here, give us a call. We're gonna talk with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer in the 5 o'clock hour. So we will we'll get his thoughts on the basketball roster. Football, I mean, A-Day.
Justin has done his homework on J.P. Pegues.
Oh, yeah.
The new addition. I mean, this is a huge – I mean, one of – I don't know if he mentioned this stat. Only a handful of players last year in Division I college basketball, 18 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. J.P. Pegues is one of them, a guy who got better from his sophomore year to his junior year, a logical candidate as far as – the kind of point guards that would want to make the jump from the mid-major level to the major conference level. Auburn going out and getting a player like that to join this team, it's a significant addition to a team that's going to have veterans play in their last year of college basketball next year. I mean, this is a one last ride kind of season for Auburn's veterans, and now they've got a veteran point guard who's also going to be in his last year of college basketball. Leading the way, at least when the team has the ball.
You know, you look at this, and I mean, Auburn has said, I mentioned it a while ago, they could use some help, a few more minutes of point guard, and then somebody to play the four with Chaney Johnson. Auburn is going to be one of the most experienced
older teams.
That's why this next year
pressure
is very big, because you look – there's some players that can't be back
no.
after next year. So
this is the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
no, I mean, and that's that pressure is, you know, it's a privilege in a lot
right.
of ways because the team will come in with loftier expectations
yep.
than any team ever. Coach, you were part of a senior right. laden team in 2004
yep.
that rallied around the fact
right.
that it was the last chance
right.
for Jason Campbell and Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown
right.
and Carlos
yep.
and the rest of those seniors
yep.
to finish their college career the way they wanted to.
And just like you said, we had great leadership. We didn't have to do all the little things in the locker room that you have to do with a young team. So I think the sky's the limit next year for Auburn's basketball. And I really believe big man's coming back. I just got a feeling that they're going to put a great deal together. And it's not a great draft this year, which sometimes you worry about that.
I would say everything we're hearing is trending towards
right.
Jahni Broome
except
playing.
For that one guy yesterday.
Well, it's always that, one negative Nelly.
You know, that one,
well, I don't know who this guy is. I still don't really know much about this guy.
I think he's an
Alabama fan.
No, what I know,
no, I don't think so.
No, what I believe he is. And, Coach, do not
yep.
fall out of your chair
okay.
rolling your eyes at
all
this.
Right.
Again, with all due respect, I believe he is an independent recruiting expert. And so maybe that's real.
Oh,
maybe that's
please.
Real. But it also is something you can call yourself
yeah, yeah.
on the internet.
Yeah, whatever.
And just go out. Yeah, so all signs point to Jahni Broome playing at least one more year. Playing his final year
yep,
right.
of college basketball and doing it with Auburn.
Yep.
And like you said, if that happens with Chad and Cheney and Dylan and
Denver.
Denver Jones
yeah.
and J.P.
And Chad. I mean,
and J.P. Please. With all of those guys, and Chris Moore,
and the good freshman coming in,
that is as experienced a team.
You're not going to find a team that has more experience than that. I mean, Auburn will have more fourth and fifth year
right.
guys than any.
Which is
any
unheard
team in the country.
Of, almost.
And a 5-star guard.
Yeah, just yes. well, see, that's one thing. Before NIL, that was unheard of. You know, you see some mid majors that might have a team that had fourth and maybe
right.
some fifth-year guys that had redshirted.
Right.
But you didn't see it at the Power 5 level.
No.
But NIL has really provided that opportunity
yeah.
for the option for players to be able to make the kind of money that they could if they weren't moving to the NBA.
Right.
I mean, we'll wait and see what happens at Alabama. But Mark Sears and Grant Nelson
yeah.
are both players who can opt in
and,
for another year
and
of college basketball.
I think the expectation is that at least one, if not both, are going to be back.
And I would think that if it goes the way it's trending for Auburn, and Alabama lands Sears and Nelson, gets them both to come back. I mean, you're looking at a year where Auburn and Alabama are both possible preseason top 10,
yeah.
top 15 programs
Easy.
In the polls. Not very often. You know,
right.
We've not had a year where the expectations are like that, and I think that's very well where we could be going. Grant Nelson had an excellent tournament, and could have changed his NBA outlook with the way he played against teams like North Carolina and in the UConn game. But I would think they're going to be able to bring back the nuts and bolts of their team too.
Yeah, now they did lose one today into the transfer portal.
Griffin, right?
Yeah,
Rylan Griffin went into the portal.
Guy that just seemed to be unconscious against Auburn.
But that could be a playing time issue, right? That could be a situation
where,
I don't know exactly, especially if they bring back everyone they want to bring back.
Right.
I don't know what his playing time looked like next season. To me, it's about, even if you bring back Nelson, you got to get, if you're them, you got to get bigger and stronger around the basket, right? You got to find a way.
Yeah,
to
well, see, something. they thought they were going to have Bediako this year, and that was a huge,
you know,
huge loss.
You know,
it's
a really curious piece that just went into the portal is Ivy from Tennessee.
Yeah,
really.
I
didn't see that.
Yeah,
so
Ivy from Tennessee's in the portal, and that is a guy who, especially a team trying to win, I mean, they're going to lose Connect and Ziegler and Vescovi. So I can understand
they've
why
been there forever.
I can understand why a veteran Tennessee player would maybe think
right.
somewhere else is the place to be this year. But if he wants to stay in the conference and contribute down low, I think there are multiple teams with eyes on the SEC title,
mm-hmm.
Arkansas, Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, that would probably be interested in adding a big like that.
Oh, you know
after the season Tennessee just had.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Again, don't forget, Justin Ferguson is going to be joining us in hour number two. We'd love for you to join us either here at Baumhauer's or on the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390. We're right back with more of the Friday Drive.
Robert Pigg with Pigg Enterprise.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Don. And I showered after I worked in the yard. I feel like you guys are moving away from me.
No, that's
they're moving
nice.
Into the shade no, more. I'm here in the sun.
Yeah, the sun's going to come down, right?
I'm getting the other side of the back of my head. Sun, a little bit of tan here.
Sun's going to drop right in front of us here in about a half hour.
I'm pretty much in the sun, and you guys are over there in the shade. Hey, it is great out here on the patio, though, at Baumhauer's.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's really cool.
They got the big fans, the TVs, the heat lamps when you need them.
Not today.
No.
I'll tell you what, last night you probably could have.
It was chilly.
I was at the ball game, at the baseball game last night.
And that wind.
It was really, really cold. I had gone home. All right, you saw I had a little flannel quarter zip or something on yesterday while I was doing the show. I went home and thought, this is too warm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I put on a T-shirt, and because it was drizzling a little bit,
yes.
I had like a
windbreaker.
A nylon windbreaker. Mm. And was I glad that my blanket. I mean, oh. I was the one. I had the blanket wrapped around me like a cape.
Bill, I think the thermometer in the car told me it was 48, 49 outside.
It was like
late last night.
Well, yeah. It was 55.
Yes. Yeah.
I went at the game, and the wind was blowing like 20 miles an hour.
It was not short sleeve weather under most circumstances last night. So, and I would think much of the same tonight. So I think it's
supposed to be in the 40s, and I don't know when this wind is gonna. I'm not used to this in April. Hear about March.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like April is hanging around.
We're getting. You know what though? If it delays the onset of 90 degree days, I'm okay with this.
Go ahead and just blow away all the pollen.
Because we've had some hot April days before. We've had some days where and Coach, you guys would do spring practice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Into April and
it'd be very warm.
And I, by the way, we probably should talk to Coach about A-Day.
I do. Yeah. I wanted to do that. Well, I thought we're gonna get Justin on. We'll get his thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Don, did you get to see any of it?
Yeah, a little bit. I was pretty impressed. You know, like we talked the week before, everything's so scripted. But I thought the new kid, he's special. He's different.
Cam Coleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is different. That's just gonna make us so much better. I thought the O-line did some nice things. Got some good young D linemen I like. I didn't watch it, I'd study it like I should have probably, but I was impressed.
I agree with you. I thought the defensive line played pretty darn well.
I thought
there
they
are a
did
bunch
a
little, of younger,
yeah,
young guys
yes,
on that.
I thought they did a little better than expected, just from what I'd heard. But, I thought it was a good day. I don't think anyone got seriously banged up.
No, I don't think so.
And I know they had some good prospects in town, which is the key. And I know they're going to be busy now. And now, how long? Help me with the portal.
Portal opens. Is it Monday or Tuesday?
Monday, right? Or
15th or 16th?
It's the 15th.
Monday.
Yeah.
Then it opens Monday. It goes through the end of the month.
Yeah, there's a 15-day portal opening Monday. We'll see.
Yeah.
What veterans decide now? I believe that's the portal that if you in conference. SEC players are not
right. You will not be eligible to play at another conference school. That's one thing the SEC has kept, is they don't. They really try to discourage players from
transferring within
the conference.
Yeah, and I, that's a good rule, but yeah, that's another thing we have to worry about, this portal coming up. But we need to get a couple of guys.
Yeah, Auburn needs another defensive lineman or two.
Yes, for sure.
And Hugh Freeze looking for another receiver
right,
or two.
Which, yeah.
That tells me that Auburn's going to lose a receiver. or two.
You know what? You're probably right. You got to be ahead of the game, like you said last week, Bill. You better know what you're doing, and you better have somebody 24/7 watching that, all that stuff.
And we listed the, and again, not that we have a lead on any
right.
receiver who's thinking about leaving. But
right.
I would point at the receivers that were on the team before Hugh Freeze got here.
Yes.
As guys who could maybe feel themselves
being,
you know, passed the odd men out or being passed over on the. I mean, and that's where.
And that's what you want to do as a coach. You want to recruit better players.
And I believe the receivers that fit that description on this team are Jay Fair, Camden Brown, and Coy Moore. And so if the holdovers were sort of more likely, those would be the three to watch for. Camden Brown, though, you know.
Brown's got a lot of compliments toward the end of the spring.
Yeah,
so
Camden Brown seemed to pick up.
I think they like what they've seen from him.
Coy was battling an injury and didn't play a ton last year.
Jay was banged up some during the spring.
Jay was banged up. It's also, I think, with Jay, that's a guy who played more in the first half of the season than the second half of the season, mm-hmm. and those things can sometimes trend.
And he's at a spot where Auburn appears to be deeper, more in the slot.
Right. Even without VAR.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. The music means we've come to the end of hour number one. We're halfway done here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Again, it's the Drive on location at Baumhauer's here at Bent Creek, brought to you by Sensegreen Heating and Air. Stop in if you get a chance. You can't make it, give us a call, 334-321-1390. We're right back with hour number two of the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Speaker off.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is hour number two of the Friday Drive. We're coming to you from Baumhauer's here at Bent Creek. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. I'll turn the other mics up a little bit now. We were repositioning here. Oh, I can actually see the leaderboard now. I was at a disadvantage there in the first hour as I was on the left side, and, of course, the sun, as it always does, going down in the west, which is at our left, and I couldn't see anything. I just had to sort of trust that Dan and Don were there to my right, but everything I think is fine now. We're just shifting a little bit, going to put the sun at our backs. Dan is waving at someone.
Keep going.
Okay, well, all right. We're here at Baumhauer's. It is the drive on this Friday afternoon. We're here courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen Heating and Air. So we're having a great time out on the patio here at Baumhauer's. We'd love for you to stop in and join us. If you can't make it in person, you can give us a call. And the drive hotline, as always, is 334-321-1390. Love for you to be a part of the show here on this Friday as we watch round two of the Masters. Keeping up with that, we're going to be talking with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here coming up in just a little while. Get his thoughts on A-Day, on the basketball edition today for Auburn from the transfer portal, and J.P. Pegues. So you guys don't want to sit and have the sun at your back? That's fine. I mean, we're just trying to.
I was waiting for all the equipment to get settled
I think everything's set now. I think we're good to go here in the second hour of the show. We've been very fortunate. We have sampled some of the many, many goodies here at Baumhauer's. We had a couple of the appetizers early, the fried mozzarella cheese. We had some of the Bam Bam shrimp, and then some of their pizza from their coal-fired oven. Just delicious, as is everything that we've tried here at Baumhauer's. So come on in. The patio's a great place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, you know, very comfortable. We've got all kinds of, let's see, at least 8 large TVs. You know, you'd hear big screen, everything's a big screen. But I mean, this is a
huge.
That's probably
are you gonna ballpark
80?
It?
Yeah, probably about an 80.
Yeah, it feels like an 80 or so.
I mean, you know, for the last few years, I've dealt with some large TV monitors. These are some nice ones, really nice ones here. As Scottie Scheffler right now alone in the lead at 7-under through 12. Bryson DeChambeau and Max Homa are 6-under, and they're both done for the day. So Scottie Scheffler, the heavy favorite, leading as we approach the midway point.
I think we're efforting Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer at the moment. Drew might be trying to call him, or we may have him connected. We'll get an update from Drew shortly. But Ferguson tracking the not just the roster movement there from A-Day on Saturday, but also we'll be talking with Ferguson about the about the new addition J.P. Pegues to the Auburn basketball team.
Absolutely, yeah. Auburn picking up much needed point guard out of the portal today. We were talking about him yesterday when he had canceled his visit to Florida, and that it looked very promising for Auburn, and it didn't even take 24 hours. So that was the number one target for Auburn in the transfer portal. They have him picked up now. Bruce Pearl,
right?
Yep.
Good program.
Oh yeah, no
very
kidding.
Good program.
And that, you know, Auburn, we didn't mention this yesterday, but somebody we were talking to said, look, Auburn had an up-close and personal encounter, because that's who Auburn had their private scrimmage against, was Furman.
Right.
So Auburn got to play him, and the staff was very impressed with him when they saw him just before the season started.
Furman also played several quad one games.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were not a they were not a team that sort of coasted on mid-major success, and so yeah, he's a logical player to make the jump from Furman to the major conference, and yeah, it seems like he fits right in. He's a Bruce Pearl kind of point guard. Does a lot. Right. Of, I mean, aggressive. I you know, a lot
up tempo.
Often these players, their physicality is questioned until they get to Auburn. Remember that last year with Denver Jones. Oh,
right.
Does he defend the way Bruce Pearl expects? And in the case of Denver, he adjusted. I would expect J.P. Pegues to make the same adjustment.
Hour number two of the drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Don, we were talking a little bit about A-Day, which was this past Saturday.
Yes. Yep.
And then the transfer portal is opening again this next week. We'll get thoughts from our next guest joining us on the drive hotline presented by Skybar. It's Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Ferg, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Fine. You're missing a good time out here at Baumhauer's. They've been feeding us. We're out here on the patio. It's a great way to spend a Friday afternoon.
We got to get you out here next time, Berg. We'll get you out here to the Baumhauer's.
I'm out of town today. Otherwise, I definitely be out there right now.
Busy couple of days for Ferg,
I heard you went to that not so thrilling ball game yesterday. If you're a Braves fan.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Braves losses, obviously, in my time. My brother went with me, my youngest brother, and he had never seen the Braves lose live, so that was the first time. I don't think I've ever seen them get absolutely shelled like that. Yeah, I have not been there live when they've gotten shelled like that. Usually I'm one of those guys, we're going to stay all the way to the end. About the seventh inning, I was like, all right, we need to beat the Atlanta Terps.
How bad was it by then? I saw it when it went from 10-3 – I didn't pay any attention. Then I saw the final was 16-4.
Wow. I think I saw the 11th or 12th run by the Mets, and I was already walking out.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you know, and it's no laughing matter right now. The Braves, there's some concerns there with pitching. Now, it was Alan Winans yesterday. He's already been sent back down. And hopefully, you know, Bryce Elder can find the form that made him an all-star last year. But Spencer Strider... already with the UCL injury, and I don't know, we haven't heard anything about injuries, but Max Fried has not been himself.
Yeah, Fried goes tonight in Miami, and that's like a big one. You need a bounce back. If you have three straight rough starts for him, you start to get really worried about it. you know, the middle of that rotation, Sale's done well. Thornton's done all right so far. And you hope that, you know, between Elder, maybe A.J. Smith-Shawver coming back up at some point, that the Braves could kind of piece it together. Because, yeah, it does sound like Strider's probably going to be done, if not for the year, for a while.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because, you know, not just was he off to such an outstanding start to his Major League Baseball career, but Strider also, you know, the Braves went into the season banking on 180, 200, maybe even more than 200 innings from Spencer Strider this year. Seems clear they're going to fall far short of that. And then it's, do you have the innings internally? Can you absorb that with guys you just mentioned, like Smith-Shawver? Or does it fall to the or do they have to go outside the organization and bring in either the best of what's left of the free agent crop, or make a deal when the cream starts to separate here closer to the Major League Baseball playoffs?
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that you're fine with if you're the Braves, is just like, in the system, you don't have a ton of hitters, but you have a lot of pitching, and you've had it for a while. The good news is that I think four of the top five, maybe all of the top five Braves prospects are all pitchers. So feeling all right. You might get to see Hurston Waldrop come up a little early this year. That'd be kind of fun to see. But, you know, you'd love to have your ace out there, and you hope your former ace, Max Freed, can get going again. But, you know, that is the one position group where I just feel like the Braves can kind of hang with it internally. And they've had a good track record with these young pitchers here over the last several years.
And it's still the NL East, which is, you know, fairly wide open. The Phillies have a team built to win right now. Feels like the other three teams are in different stages of a rebuild, depending on which organization you're looking at. But, you know, the Braves, even though it's early, they're not going to be able to do what they want to do this year without the pitching, and Strider and Freed, it's a concern early, but a lot of time left in the regular season for Major League Baseball. So we were you want to go baseball, you want to go basketball or football next with Ferg?
Let's go ahead and go basketball, since we've been talking about it a good bit today, with the addition that really looked like it was about to happen at any time after the word came out yesterday that J.P. Pegues had canceled his Florida visit. That has to be the top guy on Bruce Pearl's shopping list after both Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway entered the portal.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, you felt like over the last couple of weeks that Auburn was really going to walk out of this offseason with an experienced point guard. You know, not to take anything away from Trey Donaldson or Aiden Holloway, I think, you know, there were times where it really worked for him this year, but I think in the losses, you could tell Auburn's inexperience at point guard really kind of bit him a few times. So, you know, that's the thing that they wanted to come in and upgrade at that point guard spot. And J.P. Pegues definitely looks like a guy who's going to be an upgrade. You know, 18 and a half around there points per game, almost five assists. I think it was Rich Silva at the Advertiser pointed out only nine players in college basketball averaged 18 and 4.5 this year. So, I mean, you're talking about an offensive weapon. He's a really, really good player. You know, y'all were saying that, you know, at the beginning that, you know, he's had some good quad one and quad two performances in his career. Guy who, you know, is a great scorer. He had 15 different 20-point games last season at Furman. He had two 30-pointers toward the end of the year. Scores really well around the basket, really good in transition, isolation. You know, I think that was the thing with this team last year for Auburn at point guard. You just didn't really know if your point guard could just go get you a bucket when you absolutely needed it. Pegues looks like a guy who can do some of that. You know, pretty good three-point shooter, really good, excellent free-throw shooter, gets to the line and knocks it down. He shot 90% in conference play from the line this season. Good mid-range jumper, and defensively averaged over a steal a game. Was probably the most valuable defender on a Furman team that was kind of undersized for most of the season against who they matched up against. So, I mean, Dan said it perfectly a moment ago. It's like this is he looks like a Bruce Pearl point guard, about 6'2". So, you know, not going to be a guy who's completely overwhelmed at that spot physically. But, you know, when you talk about a guy who has played and started pretty much every game for the last 2 years for one of the best, you know, small conference teams in college basketball, you really, really like what you're getting. he's a great fit, and I think he checks a lot of boxes when Auburn was on their, you know, shopping list for a point guard here this offseason.
Justin, we were talking about it a little while ago. I mean, if Jahni Broome comes back, Bruce Pearl has talked about, you know, you want to be an old team, an experienced team. There may not be a more experienced team in the country if Jahni Broome comes back with the guys back for, you know, that extra year with Dylan and Chris, and then Denver and Chad, and I mean so many fourth and fifth year seniors that Auburn has a chance of having if Jahni comes back.
Yeah, you know, next year's the last year of this COVID kind of waiver era. You know, guys being able to play really 5 years of college basketball, and Auburn stockpiling those fourth and fifth year guys. I mean, it is definitely, they bring Jahni Broome back. You know, and even if they don't bring, you know, say Jahni goes pro, you might be able to sell to an experienced center in the portal, and there's quite a few of them. You know, that thing. It, you know, you're building a team that you feel like can be super, super experienced. And then you got to like the youth they've got, you know, coming in as well. I mean, I think, you know, we talked about it on our podcast a lot. And I even said that when we were talking about Aiden Holloway when he was still on the roster. You look at Auburn next season and you say, hey, Saad Pettiford, Ja'Kai Howard, these are two really, really good freshmen. What do? Is you bring them into a team with a ton of experience and a ton of, you know, just a ton of veteran leadership. And you say, hey, guys, come in, turn it loose. The pressure's not going to be on you to be the guy. And I think that's going to be a really, really good thing for a guy like Todd Pettiford. Maybe find a way to get a guy like Ja'Kai Howard on the floor, you know, as well, a good chunk. So, you know, you got to like it if you're Auburn. I mean, Janie Johnson's a fifth-year guy. Baker Mazar is a fifth-year guy. Like, there's a ton of potential fifth-year players on this team next year. And so, you know,
it has a real last dance feel to it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Really, I mean, you have a lot of guys playing. Yeah, especially if Jahni comes back, which it feels like everything is trending towards that at the moment. And one thing that I think helps the chances that Auburn gets Jahni Broome back is that it starts increasingly looking like Bruce Pearl will be Auburn's coach.
He won't be at Kentucky
next year.
Like, that's not his head coach.
I think I know people wanted – I think that there were real prominent people without an anti-Auburn agenda out there in the universe talking about why Bruce Pearl would make a lot of sense.
Media. I mean, there were a lot of people who thought Bruce made sense.
People who know Kentucky, people who know college basketball, were talking about why Bruce Pearl would make sense, especially if Hurley or Donovan or
Scott Drew.
Or Drew didn't fit. I wondered, well, let's start with the Bruce Pearl angle, and then we can talk about Mark Pope. Did you think Kentucky would make a real run at Bruce Pearl for this job, Justin?
I needed something a little more concrete than just speculation from media folks. And I get it. Like, you know, I thought Bruce, like Nate Oaks, was kind of in that second tier of guys they'd go after. And I guess technically if they never really went after Donovan, they switched into that second tier. And Mark Pope makes a ton of sense because, you know, he's a former Kentucky guy. And also, you know, on top of that, he runs some really elite efficient offenses at BYU. But, yeah. You know, I had several, you know, fans ask me this week, hey, how much do you believe in Bruce to Kentucky? And I was like, I need something a little more concrete. I think, you know, Bruce is an excellent coach, one of the best in college basketball. And Auburn is very fortunate to continue to have him now, what's going over a decade, you know, in this program's history. But, you know, he's an older guy. He's got all these guys we've mentioned, including, you know, a guy like Billy Donovan who's won it twice. The won a national title twice. Like, you know, Bruce is up there in age compared to all those guys. And it would have surprised me if Kentucky would have gone after somebody like that instead of maybe somebody like a Pope or, you know, landing someone who they feel like can be there for a long time. Because I think Bruce Pearl still has, you know, a good bit of mileage left in his career. But, you know, that's more of a risk, especially when you're going to have to come in. It might take you a little while to put your own stamp on, you know, on the program. So, you know, it was always a possibility just because of how good Bruce Pearl is as a head coach. But, yeah, like I said, I just needed to hear something a little more concrete from the Kentucky side. People I talked to who covered Kentucky and kind of knew it never really seemed to put him high up on the list of candidates, and I think that's why I kind of shied away from that.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point, the fact that he's 64 – and would be starting in another place. I mean, that's the thing. And it's not like Kentucky. Kentucky is at the bottom of the barrel, and, oh, my goodness, there's no resources or anything.
Will you still need him? And will you still feed him when he's?
I think Auburn will and does. Yes.
And Mitch Barnhart did not really target, at least publicly, did not really target anybody in that age range for Bruce Pearl or similar candidates. People talked about, I mean, I think if Rick Pitino were closer to 60 than 70 and available to be a coach, there might have been. Although they also maybe were a little bit, it didn't seem like they had an appetite to go after anybody with a recent NCAA trouble either, which you could say, depending on your definition of recent, could include both Rick Pitino
any questionable issues in the past.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you could lump, if you want to lump Chris Beard. And as far as, you know, it didn't seem like Kentucky really wanted any scandal at all. And to go in the family, I mean, it didn't occur to me, Justin, it's been 40-plus years since a Kentucky player became a Kentucky coach. Joe B. Hall was the last former Kentucky player to coach for the Kentucky Wildcats, and it's something they haven't really tried, even though it's an organization that really prides itself on family and the knowing what you're getting into. Now they're bringing in somebody who didn't just, you know, win a championship on an all-time great Kentucky team, but he's also he's got some experience as a Power Five head coach.
Absolutely. I love watching BYU run their offense. Mark Pope's an excellent coach for that. I know they weren't elite this year, and you know they lost in the first round. This is the first year in the Big 12 as well. I mean, you know, it was a jump up, and I thought to be able to make the dance, you know, making that big step up in classification, I thought was impressive enough. He's obviously going to be able to get talent because it is Kentucky, and I just think he's a really good basketball coach. Is he the kind of basketball coach the Kentucky fans wanted? No, probably not, because I think Kentucky thought, hey, we've got an
opening. They wanted a bigger splash
at the top of the market. Yeah,
right.
We're only going to get guys who've won a national championship. When you have Kentucky fans scoffing at the thought of Bruce Pearl or Nate Oates being their head coach, because it's like, no, we're Kentucky. We need to go out here and, you know, we just let a guy in Calipari walk, you know, and he's won a national title. We're only going to get that kind of caliber coach coming in. Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that's surprising to me out of all this, and I guess it didn't seem like they really aggressively pursued him. If I was Kentucky, I would have waited to see if Billy Donovan wanted to come back. You know, I know
he's with the
Bulls right now, and he's with the Bulls right now, and the playoffs are coming up, and it might take him a few weeks, and like it might have made it tougher for you to kind of build a roster in year one, you know, if you had to wait on your coach like that. But come on, it's Billy Donovan, and it's a guy with Kentucky ties, and you know, one of the best to ever do it.
It's like, don't hide your light under a barrel, right? You know, a little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Billy Donovan's such a great college basketball coach. It's kind of a bummer that he's coaching a bottom half of the league NBA team instead of being the great college basketball coach that he was when he left Florida. And I suspect, like a lot of the great coaches, he's only going to come back for an opportunity like Kentucky. This was the kind of
job.
There aren't many of them. And this was the kind of, you know what, UCLA could come open soon enough. It's not quite Kentucky. We'll see. We'll see if Mick Cronin can right the ship there. There could be another blue blood looking for a coach soon enough. But no, this felt like a great opportunity for Donovan to come back and be a coach in the top tier of college basketball. And no disrespect to his work with the Thunder and the Bulls, but I mean, I don't know how often he's been in championship contention as an NBA head coach.
No, he hasn't.
Justin?
Not very often. Not very often at all.
And it's not even his fault, right? So much of the NBA is dependent on who you've got. So, Justin, we'll talk some Auburn if you can hang out for another segment.
We want to talk a little football with Justin.
Cool.
We will get to our first break. Again, we're coming to you from Baumhauer's here on this Friday edition of The Drive. Beautiful Friday afternoon. We're out here on the porch. Love for you to stop by if you can. If you can't, give us a call. We'll get back to your calls after we talk with Justin, we'll continue our conversation.
Thanks again to Sensegreen.
Absolutely.
For helping us send us here.
Yep, they are sponsoring The Drive here on location at Baumhauer's. We're back with more of the Friday Drive.
At Reynolds Outdoor, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, Friday afternoon edition. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and we're here at Baumhauer's.
Great time.
Yeah, great place to be.
Shout out to Scott for helping us out.
He has brought us some goodies.
Could not be more welcome.
I said I've got to have some to take when we leave.
Yeah, I'm doing
and
the same
Don,
thing.
Don, you and Don are going to
either
hang
have it here
and
or take it home.
There you go.
And I'm told what.
Don was saying, hey, Donna. Don was saying, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
He said, oh, this is our first date in about 25 years.
Yeah.
First date since you got the Auburn job.
Yeah.
First time you've been able to go out in Auburn.
That's right.
Since getting the job.
Could go out in public sometime.
No, they could not have been more welcoming here at Baumhauer's. Love doing the show here. And really thankful. That we've been able to do this.
Absolutely, thanks to Sensegreen for making it possible, sponsoring us being out here. Sensegreen Heating and Air. All right, let's get back. We've got Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer with us on the Drive Hotline, and Ferg was there Saturday
I think we lost Ferg for a sec. Do we have him back?
I heard a beep. I thought that Vinny was back. Is he back?
Ferg, 1, 2, 3. You there? Okay, so Drew, you might need to call Ferg back.
Yeah,
I think we just dropped him.
I heard that beep. I thought that meant we had connected. I think that means
I think that means we're connected to America Online is what that beep means. So I think that's the you've got mail is what that. No, I think we should be we should be getting Ferg back. I think momentarily.
Yeah,
talk some JP Pegues, talk some spring football.
He was there in the press box and was one of the many that I don't know if he had Towns Magoo as his MVP. Like we did, Don. Seriously, we had Towns Magoo as our offensive MVP. Then Cam Coleman made that second catch,
and the whole
press box went, "Oh, can I make a change?"
It was the scene from Spartacus.
Yeah.
We all stood up. I'm changing my vote to Cam Coleman.
Yeah.
And Towns still got a special teams recognition.
He did, as he deserved.
But what a weapon!
One of the many, and a guy who got to see Towns Magoo kick at Auburn High, stringing for the OA News, and got to see him there in the press box on Saturday is Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, who we do have back.
Yeah, we welcome Justin back in, and Ferg. I mean, nothing. I guess no huge headlines or anything from the spring game, but it's obvious Cam Coleman is every bit what everyone had expected, and Auburn's got themselves another in a long line of outstanding kickers in Towns Magoo.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Cam Coleman was just ridiculous, and you know, he looked like what he did when he was at Central, which is pretty impressive. I thought one of the most intriguing things to come out of the game was to hear Hugh Freeze talk about, like, yeah, he played really well, made some great catches, he's a special player. Also, he's a freshman. Like, he had some missed assignments in the red zone that we could have probably touchdowns on some of those plays. I mean, he's just going to have to learn. But he's like, you can tell that when he knows what he's doing, you know, he's as good as you're going to have out there for Auburn this year. That's really special. I mean, everyone saw it. But the thing that separates Cam Coleman was not the biggest receiver in the world. He's not the fastest. You know, he might not even have the best hands of any receiver. He's not the best route runner. But the thing he does better than anybody I've seen at his age especially is he just thinks every ball is catchable. He tracks it so well. He's got insane ball skills. He goes up and gets it. His timing's always right. I mean, he's a special player for sure. And, yeah, Towns McGee, I mean, I knew as soon as, you know, we had the spring where Alex McPherson doesn't do a whole lot because of, you know, recovering from a hamstring injury, I had a feeling Towns was going to be able to do that because, I mean, he was insanely good at Auburn High, and it's one of those things where he just translates easily, you know, to the collegiate level when you're a kicker. And he's got a ton of power. He has got a ton of power, and I'm very interested to see what they do with him this year. If they want to lighten Alex McPherson's load a little bit, maybe you see Towns Magoo, you know, bash the ball out of the back of the end zone on kickoffs this year. That might be something they could do to kind of get him some experience early on.
Yeah, I mean, I know he had talked about redshirting and learning from Alex, but if he doesn't mind, I know he can do that every single time, and then you just save Alex and not have to have him worrying about kicking off. But back to Cam, you know, when you talk to him, that's the other thing that's so impressive is he's very mature and very even-keeled. He's a guy that knows that he's still needs to improve. He knows he's good. I mean, there's no question about that. But he knows that he can get better. And when you're talking about tracking the ball, That first catch, I think, is such a great example of that. The one from Hank Brown. I had a few people saying, man, that's why Hank Brown should be the starting quarterback. And I went, if you're looking from our vantage point, it looked like, oh, man, there's an overthrown pass. And Cam just found an extra gear and was able to find it, make an incredible catch. You talk about tracking the ball. That's something. Look, every quarterback, great quarterbacks, still need receivers that can make plays on balls that aren't perfectly thrown.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, Peyton Thorne said it after the game. He played with a couple of those guys at Michigan State, you know, and Keon Coleman and Jaden Reed. You know, Keon's about to be in the NFL. Jaden's already in the NFL and a pretty good one at that. Already a good NFL receiver. He said, you know, those guys were where it's like, hey, when you throw it up to me, it ain't 50-50. It's more like 80-20. I think Cam's got that ability to him, you know, and that's pretty special. And hey, you talk about just talking to him, kind of the maturity there. It is fun. It is fun to talk about because, you know, with Cam Coleman, wide receivers can be divas. Wide receivers can be the position group that, you know, has more of the look at me first kind of personalities. And like you said, Cam Coleman knows he's a good player. But if you just talk to him, you probably wouldn't think, hey, this is, you know, top five player in the country, five-star receiver, one of the best players Auburn's ever signed out of high school. Like, he's got a really good maturity about him. And then we've talked about it before, I know, on this show, but, like, he's young for his class, too. He is still 17 years old, and that is ridiculous to think about when you kind of compare it to what Auburn's had a wide receiver for a long time.
Talking with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here on the Friday edition of the show, live from Baumhauer's. And Justin, receiver and defensive line were the positions that Hugh Freeze mentioned. Auburn, with a portal opening on Monday, Auburn might want to add to the roster between now and the start of the year. I think at receiver, they might be bracing for a departure or two. You know, we'll see. Maybe that's true on the defensive line, too, although it sounds like there's going to be a pretty big rotation of guys. But those are both spots where I wonder if Hugh Freeze ever thinks you can have enough contributors or guys who can actually, like, step in and help out.
Yeah, no, defensive line, I think it's a pure numbers thing. I thought they played well last Saturday, especially stopping the run. Pretty impressed with them, kind of surprised at how well they played against Auburn's running game for sure, and they got some of those guys got in the backfield a lot for sacks, tackles for loss and pressures and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's a pure numbers game. Like, you don't have a lot of returning production. You don't have a lot of, you know, solid experience out there. You know, bring in some guys who can at least compete. And you're right. Like, line is one of those places, and you see it on the offensive line as well. It's like, you got to be ready for anything. When you play a position where you're getting hit and hit hard pretty much every single snap, you got to be ready for anything. And so I think that's the position group you can look at. And, yeah, wide receivers, I think, you know, that might be a position group where, you know, if they lose some guys who have fallen out of favor, not as high up on the depth chart anymore, you know, go in and look. Might as well go and try to find, you know, some experienced players maybe who can come in and help you out. I thought Robert Lewis looked really good on Saturday.
Yes, I did.
That's the type of player, you know, if you could find a Robert Lewis that was a little, you know, a few inches taller, I think that'd be kind of the perfect fit for this system. Because you're bringing in Cam and Bryce and, you know, Perry and Malcolm come in later. You got this really talented wide receiver room. You've got a lot of upside there, but it would help to have a little bit more experience and a little more continuity out there. And I think you saw that with Robert Lewis. He was just smooth, went about his business really, really well on Saturday, and I think he's going to be one of the key guys this year. Maybe you can find somebody else like that.
Yeah, I like what we saw out of Sam Jackson, even though he was in a yellow jersey after the shoulder surgery as well. But I think you're exactly right. That's what I was thinking when I heard Coach Freeze talking about receivers. I think he's looking for a little more length. He's looking for a guy, you know, a couple of more taller guys, outside-type guys, because they have more players that sort of fit in the as slot receivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you saw – Robert Lewis played mostly on the outside here in spring ball, and he played mostly on the outside at Georgia State as well, but he looked like a pure slot receiver, yet he has to play outside because Auburn doesn't have a whole lot on the outside right now. And it's, you know, outside of the Cam Colemans and Camden Brown, and I guess Harry Thompson would be the only other one,
you would look at him as like, all right, you could use some more size, some guys who could separate, get out there. We saw it last season. I mean, heck, I mean, by the end of the year, Ravonna Fairweather was more of a wide receiver than he was a tight end. And, you know, I think you need to have some more of that kind of production out there. And, yeah, experience is going to help because, like, you would love to get these four freshmen in and turn them loose and start building around them. But like what we saw with, you know, what Free said about Cam and the missed assignments and stuff like that, they're going to be freshmen. You can't just bank all on that. So, if, you know, you got some openings there, maybe get some guys who've at least done it before, you know, at the college level.
You mentioned the job the defensive line did. I was as you were, a little surprised but impressed with the defensive front and their ability against the run, because Auburn could run the ball last year against teams that stacked the line, and that this offensive line should be better than last year's.
Yeah, no, that was the big, like, surprise for me, was just the, how well that group played. Thought Bobby James and Travis had a heck of a day, and he's a guy where, you know, hey, you bring in a younger JUCO player, you see the light maybe turn on in year two for him. You can see that with Bobby. I think you're going to see some of that this year with Champ Anthony in the secondary. So, you know, those second-year kind of surges, that applies to those JUCO players as well. And I think Bobby's done a really good job of kind of establishing something. Malik Watkins getting a lot of experience early on. That's a really good sign. You got your two transfers, Engage Keys and Trill Carter. I thought they made plays look good. They were kind of your starting unit out there on the interior. I mean, you just need more. You just need a little more, especially – you know, if you're playing guys like Keldrick Falk and Zeke Walker and Morris Williams, if you're playing more of those guys out on the edges, on the perimeter of the defense, you're going to need some more big dudes down the middle. But they did play well. They played really, really well on Saturday. And, you know, you just feel like if you can solidify that position group, especially with the experience you've got and the production you're returning at the linebacker position, you know, Auburn could really be a team that takes a step forward on defense this year.
Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer spending a little time with us here on this Friday edition of The Drive as we come to you from Baumhauer's. Ferg, tell everybody about what all you've got and what's coming up, what they can expect, and how they can get everything there at the Observer.
Yeah, it's been a busy week at the Observer. I did a depth chart breakdown, just kind of a projection of what we saw in the spring for Auburn football. Also did a story breaking down the point guard position, and it kind of worked out for me. I wrote about like 700 words on J.P. Pegues earlier this week, so you can read that on the site. Just kind of a quick breakdown on him now that Auburn has got him in the fold. Mailbag came out today. We had a fun podcast episode that came out on Thursday where Dan and I went head-to-head drafting teams from Auburn's football roster. And, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on. The roster trackers for both basketball and football are going to be in full swing over the next few weeks as well. So a ton of stuff for Auburn football and Auburn basketball. Just go to auburnobserver.com and sign up. It's $6 a month or $60 for the full year of a subscription. You will get, in the off season, you will get at least three newsletters and two podcasts each week on Auburn football and men's basketball. And, yeah, we email everything out to you. So it's going to be a pretty busy time. And, you know, having a lot of fun with it. We had a really good week this week.
Outstanding stuff as always, Justin. Thanks for making time for us, and we will talk to you. Are you checking out? You going back to Truist anytime soon?
What's that?
You going back to Truist anytime soon? You gonna make
the
trip up?
You know, in a couple of weeks, you know, when they come back home, they got a series of the Marlins. I'm gonna try to make a game, maybe every series, maybe every other series. That, you know, I'm sharing these tickets with our buddy Jordan Hill, who used to, you know, work here and was at, you know, back at Georgia. Covering for 247. So, yeah, we've had a pretty good little exchange going, and friends and family getting tickets as well. So, but I'm trying to make it out every now and then. So, it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, and you feel like, you know, if you've got the tickets, it's not, you know, it's not impossible to get over there and get to them. So, I don't blame you. Well, that's great. Well, have a great weekend, Justin. Thanks again, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all.
Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer joining us as we need to get to break. We're more than a little behind here at Baumhauer's on the Friday edition of The Drive.
On ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here at Baumhauer.
Now, I believe we still have one more break to take.
We do.
Right? So
we
we're not out of the woods quite yet.
This is probably going to be a quick segment here. But, yeah, Don and Donna making their plans, looking over the menu here.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, it's really, really a diverse menu. You've got all kinds of choices.
I'm very impressed. And, you know, I'm a food guy. So.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, you can tell.
You're a food guy and you're an ingredient quality guy, too. I mean, you can only do so much. You know, you can only work so much magic. But a lot of it's got to be
right
ingredient. Not unlike coaching. Right, you can only coach a guy so far. There's got to be an underlying.
Right.
They got to have some quality ingredients, even for the best coach.
Yeah, you need the Jimmys and Joes.
Exactly.
I was looking at the menu. I mean, on top of the really impressive pizza menu, they've also got calzones, which is they do those, and I guess they've got a couple of wing options they do in the pizza oven as well.
Right.
So check out all. I mean, really cool
great
stuff.
Great sandwiches too. Yeah. I mean, we're big fans of the sandwiches.
The Baumhauer's menu full of cool stuff. Took us really a long time to mention gooey fries. Which are like, you know, the trademark. I mean, you go to the basketball games, you hear the chants.
The crowd's going crazy. You're up 30 or something, and the guy's at a free throw line. The crowd's going crazy, and the fans of the other team or the announcers are wondering, what the heck's going on?
It's like that scene in Rudy where they're trying to figure out what the chant is.
Right.
But instead of the chant being Rudy, the chant is gooey fries.
It is.
Because that's what the Auburn fans want there at the end of that game.
And friendly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Several.
I thought we were having a dog show. A while.
Yeah.
Several. Yeah, it's like
Westminster.
It's like best in show.
We had different classifications.
Yeah.
Walking
Madison
by.
Madison Square Garden.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, this is it's a great place to be. Hope we get to come back soon.
Yes.
And again, want to say thank you to SensaGreen and everybody with SensaGreen Heating and Air for helping have us on location.
Yeah, sponsoring our visit out here at Baumhauer's. And it's a shame that Tud's not here. I mean, he's a pretty busy guy. Yeah. But today he was able to find time and somehow find access to round two of the Masters.
Bill, you cut me off when I'm wrong here on the SensaGreen point. Heating and air problems at your home are no fun.
No, they're not. I can attest.
They're no fun.
Me too.
If you can find someone who's going to fix it, they're going to do it at the price they say they're going to do it. They're going to do a good job.
And that is
worth their weight in gold. And that's SensaGreen. So call our folks at SensaGreen and get them to come work on it. That is an industry you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
And you know the folks at SensaGreen will help you. They will help you try to avoid any trouble.
And this summer's coming.
Right.
Well, this time of year is crazy because you may need the heat at night, and the next day you're going to need the AC.
And you know what? If you don't need the AC today, there's going to come a day.
And that was the situation we had. I mean, it's like we didn't need it because the temperature was in the 40s, but then it got up to 80, and it's like, oh, great. The heat worked just fine, but the AC didn't want to. So, yeah.
So I think we had to take our final break.
We will. We'll update you on what's going on day two at the Masters. Got a three-way tie for the lead right now. We'll update that and more. Hey, you can join us as well. We've got time for your calls. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline as we wind things down here on the Friday Drive from Baumhauer's.
Celebrate the run for the